Paul's second letter to the Corinthians that fits into the theme of light for the week and also moves us towards our national celebration of the birth of our nation. Beginning in the seventh verse, we hear Paul's word, and one of the things we learned this week is that glory is often associated with light. And since Moses was the theme we began with and dealt with for two evenings, this seemed to be an appropriate passage. Now, if the ministry of death, chiseled in letters on stone tablets, came in glory so that the people of Israel could not gaze at Moses' face because of the glory of his face, a glory now set aside, how much more will the ministry of the Spirit come in glory? For if there was glory in the ministry of condemnation, much more does the ministry of justification abound in glory. Indeed, once what had glory has lost its glory because of the greater glory. For if what was set aside came through glory, much more has the permanent come to glory. Since then we have such a hope, we act with great boldness, not like Moses, who put a veil over his face to keep the people of Israel from gazing at the end of the glory that was being set aside. But their minds were hardened. Indeed, to this very day, when they hear the reading of the Old Covenant, that same veil is still there, since only in Christ is it set aside. Indeed, to this very day, Moses is read, a veil lies over their minds, but when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And all of us, with unveiled faces, seeing the glory of the Lord as though reflected in a mirror, we are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, the Spirit, the Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I came across this passage in my daily devotionals and thought that it fit in beautifully with our theme. Imagine being in the presence of God with such power that your face is so illuminated that the people of God are almost pushed back by the holiness of that experience. Very much like the transfiguration of our Lord. And yet, as time went on, the glory in Moses' face began to fade. And he was concerned that the people would have a problem with that, so he wore a veil over his face. And St. Paul picks up on that image to compare the glory of the Ten Commandments to the glory of the one great commandment of love in Christ Jesus. Love one another as I have loved you. Fulfilling and surpassing the law of the Old Testament. And indeed pointing out that even with the Ten Commandments, even with the two great commandments of love, there is still a veil over people's eyes if they have not come to know the light of God in Christ Jesus. And that comes to us, St. Paul says, through the Spirit. And through the Spirit, we are filled with a special kind of glory. And we don't have to hide that glory behind a veil. We don't have to worry about that glory fading as long as we stay focused on our Savior, Christ Jesus. As long as we are open to a God who will continually fill us with the presence of His Spirit So we're overflowing in what God wants to share with the world, so that God enriches our lives and enlivens our spiritual gifts for the glory of God in the church and in the community and in the world. And Paul is talking about a glory that's more magnificent than any movie special effects person can create. A glory that's to shine through us. And often we look into the face of our children when they're singing about the love of God, and we see some of that glory. But when we look around at one another, it's like we're wearing a veil. If the glory of the Lord's really shining in us, then we're doing a pretty good job of hiding it. Where is the glory of this Spirit welling up inside of us to not only make a difference in our lives, but to make a difference in the life of the church and in the life of the world? This is the glory St. Paul was talking about. It's not something that just happens to Moses on Mount Sinai. It's not something that's just witnessed by Peter, James, and John at a transfiguration. It's something that God makes available to every one of us. We can be people of glory. But as he says, we become people of glory by bearing the reflection of the one God sent, Jesus Christ, and through the Spirit, the indwelling Spirit that he sent for us. We must stay focused on our God, on our Lord, on our Christ, and on the Spirit if we're to share the glory of God in the world today. If we're to have the enthusiasm and the power to be counted as one of God's witnesses in the world today. Now, if you don't feel like you're a person of that kind of power with that magnitude of glory, there's good news. There's hope. For when we pick up the Word of God, when we study the Word of God, when we focus on our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ, this Word acts as a mirror. And as a mirror, as we look into it, to not only to see about Moses and the characters of the Old Testament, or the characters of the New Testament, or even our Lord, we look in it to see our lives. We look in it to see our story. We look in it to see our hope. We look into the pages of the Word of God to see the eternal blessing it is there for you and for me if we look into this book as a mirror. Then we will be transformed into the image of our Lord from one degree of glory to another. We had Vacation Bible School. This is the book that will lead us to glory. This is the mirror to our souls. This is the source of our hope for eternal glory, for in this Word we meet a living Lord. The question for us today is, are you going to this precious mirror every day, several times a day, that you might be transformed from one degree of glory into another? Do you desire to see yourselves as God sees you? And be transformed from one degree of glory into another until we bear the image of our Lord. Until the Spirit so fills and dominates our lives that we cannot contain the glory of God. That's what he wants for the church. That's what the world is desperately seeking. And that's the freedom that we gain in Christ Jesus. In a few days, we're going to celebrate one of the greatest acts of freedom in the world, the establishment of a nation that allows people to go to their God without limitations, without restrictions. And we can celebrate the joy of being raised in a country that gives us that privilege. Because there are places in this world where you don't have that choice. You have to worship God sometimes in secret. And if you're going to be a Christian, you really have to be in secret or you might be killed. And the freedom we gain in Christ Jesus is nothing more than the greatest freedom on earth. It transcends the freedom we have as a nation. Because it lifts us above the concerns of the worldly to be people of the kingdom of God. And that gives us freedom from a bad economy. That gives us freedom from restrictions we think are placed on our freedom. That gives us freedom from distortions that we see of what we consider to be the good American life. It gives us the freedom to be above just daily concerns and have our minds fixed on the things of above. Oh, what a difference it would make if we would go to this mirror and see our glory by degrees transformed into the image of our Lord and Savior. I invite you to look into this mirror more frequently and experience the transforming, glorious power and freedom that our Lord Jesus Christ wants to give each of us. Let us pray. Gracious Father, we thank you that we live in such a great nation, and we're going to be able to celebrate the freedoms we enjoy. But Father, I pray that this week as we celebrate, as the bands play and the parades go forth and the fireworks decorate the sky, that when we see that light flashing in the sky, we not only think of a birth of a nation, but we think of the rebirth of the glory of God in Christ Jesus and our being transformed one degree of glory to another until we obtain the image of our Lord through the Spirit. Amen.